some of us, we've been around the block over the last sort of 30, 40 years with the things of God and of what is in and what's out and what's good and what's not good or what's the latest fad on, and whatever. Some of us have been hurt by it. Some of us have been encouraged by it. And so I hope that there's some resonance there with you. Really, I just want to consider a few points to make us think about God renewing this church as a congregation in spirit and truth. And really what I'm saying there is that we need to have an active relationship between the Word of God, which praise God we do in this church. We've got a good tradition of being taught, but also that relationship that there is an outpouring and working of God's Spirit, and those two things are the foundation of our faith, and the foundation of allowing God to do great things. And this should, and I feel like a hypocrite saying this, but because sometimes it's not the case, but it should be evident in our personal lives as well as our lives as a church, so that it there's that constant flow. And we are all responsible to live with spiritual integrity. And that can only come about by being taught well and allowing the Spirit to water us and make us alive. I read this comment from Oswald Chambers. Now, he's a good friend of mine. Anyone else? Oswald is a friend. Anyone else a friend of Oswald Chambers? But he said this, and I thought it was quite a good opener, actually. If we lose the heavenly vision God has given us, we are alone responsible, not God. We lose the vision because of our own lack of spiritual growth. If we don't apply our beliefs about God to the issues of everyday life, the vision God has given us will never be fulfilled. So where do we get this heavenly vision? Is it something we make up, or is it something that God releases to us as we walk in his way? What heavenly vision have we got for ourselves here? And in where does that come from? Is it our own head, or is it the power of God's Spirit moving through us? I believe God has given us a heavenly vision for Newfield, and my understanding of the prophetic word that God has given us is that we have a responsibility to keep true to that, and under the direction of the Spirit, we will. So it's not a question of going, well, here we are, you know, we've got this new wonderful setup, we're all every tunky dory, and then we start adding things in. And that may be not the case. We need to keep true to what God has put through. The vision needs to permeate through everything we do. And that can only be done through the Spirit of God. So for me, one of the things that I see as an issue, which has been in years past, is that people seem to have a problem with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's down to factions and bad teaching. And over the last 50 years, I'm not that old really, but really, there are some things, and I'm going to be open, that have torn fellowships and denominations apart over the last 50 years because of the Spirit. And here are some of the things. The Spirit of God was for the first century only. That was a big one. You need to be baptized in the Spirit, which seemed to be another sort of in condition. If you don't speak in tongues, you can't be filled with the Spirit, was another one. Speaking in tongues is self-induced manipulation. And obviously, signs and wonders are deceptions. So can I ask you, where do these problems and these issues originate from? Fear, yeah. Tradition, yeah. Man, yeah, people, people like us who have given way to personal desire, either over-seeking heavenly happenings. I like that word, heavenly. It's very difficult to say heavenly happenings. Becoming reliant on experience rather than substance, all spirit and little truth. So let's be encouraged here that we have a love for the word of God. But also, we need to be open to the move of the Spirit. Because after all, he brings life to the word. Do you agree with that? Is that something we do? So, really, these are just some examples. But sometimes when we have something really good, we want to keep hold of it. Or if we don't like something, we will put it in a cupboard. How many of you have had those sort of presents, Christmas presents? You go, oh, well, that's very nice. And hopefully no one's given this present. But I was in a bedroom the other day doing something. I thought, what's that? And Coral said, that was a present someone gave us a few years ago. And it's still in the box. It was a lovely present, but it really wasn't us. So, you know, the gratitude. So thank you very much for the present. And then you secrete it somewhere until they come round. And then you go, if it's a vase, you stick it on the table or something. But and sometimes we're like that. We see something and we go, I don't like that, so I put it away. Or we see something, you really like it, and you want more and more and more. But what we lose is balance. So sometimes God puts things in our way that we don't like, but we have to accept. And we have to allow to happen. But we do like to hoard as people, and we like to keep hold of, and we like to keep hold of things that are good, because in some respects there's a security in that. Now, I'll give you a clue here. Who loves the story of the disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17? I love it, because that just shows something about this. And I'm going to read it. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them up the mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Peter said, God, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. How exciting. Would you imagine if those guys walked in today, what would we do? Will we bottle it? We give him a chair. That's right, give him a chair. But this is the thing. Sometimes we can make the mistake of limiting God to our own experience. And I think where we've gone, the problem with the Holy Spirit is that sometimes we have allowed ourselves to be limited by the experience of what God has given us there and then. But we can't do that. The Spirit of God is not there to be compartmentalized. He's not an icon. He's not a relic. And when we were in Italy a couple of years ago, and you go into some of the big cathedrals, and then they go, that's St. Austin's toenail from 612 or something like that. And the whole thing was that people were trying to keep hold of something that was important and a milestone and something significant in their spiritual lives. But we can't do that with God. We can't say to people, we have got the Spirit here, because we have to accept the fact that God through his Spirit is on the move constantly, flowing. Nothing we do can stop that. What we can stop is God actually blessing through his Spirit. I was thinking about this, and I know from my own experience is that we can never capture or harness the power of God. It's not like putting a dam, hydroelectrics. It's not like that. We go, put a dam, and then the God flows through it, and then everything spins off nicely. It doesn't work like that. You dam the power of God, you stop it. It's free flow. And the example I had is when I was looking at this, is that if you put fresh breath in a container and seal it, what happens? That's right. It becomes stale and it's useless. It has no life in it. And why is that? That in our churches, in the way we think and do and speak of and allow the Spirit of God, is that it's like we're opening a bottle of fizzy water, or, you know, we'll stick it in there just for now. Now, that might seem offensive to some of you, but I believe that's sometimes what we do. We don't allow the flow of God through His Spirit to permeate our lives. I love this old hymn from, it's a revival hymn from the 20s by Bessie Porterhead. And it says this: O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour. This hour. So for me, as we grow in spiritual awareness and seek our supernatural God to act sovereignly in our midst, we mustn't limit the Spirit of God to our own understanding. We mustn't put problems in the way of people because of our own experience, because God will show them His perfect way as we reach out. The thing is, we actually need to acknowledge that the Spirit of God is a person. And there are two fundamental truths here we must understand. The first truth is that God's Spirit is a person and not an impersonal force. It's not like some whooshy, windy thing coming through, you know, woo, here comes the Spirit of God sort of thing. It's actually a person. The second truth in here is that the Holy Spirit is God and not a creation of God. Now, sometimes people struggle with that. But when we look at the Genesis account, what does God say? Let us make them in our own image. And there's no reason to question that the Spirit's relevance for the church in any generation. Because what we wouldn't do, we wouldn't say we don't believe in God. We wouldn't say what Jesus is done. We would never dare to speak irreverently of God or Jesus. So why do we struggle with the third person of the Trinity? One God, one Father, one Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We've got it there written down. So we need to get into our minds that we are not dealing with a thing. We are dealing with someone. And that someone is a part of God Himself. Ephesians 4 says this: there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And as I've said, would we dismiss God here as being relevant today? No. Who would have the courage to say that the relevance of Jesus life was past? None of us. So why do people get it wrong when it comes to believing in the person of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 2 says this in verse 10: these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So if God's revealed through the Spirit must be relevant for today. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. It's a big statement, and you could spend a day on that. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. How can the Spirit search the depths of God if He's actually not a part of the Godhead? That's a big one, isn't it? For those of you who are theologians here. For who knows a person's thought except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If we have no Spirit, if we deny the Spirit, if we box the Spirit, we are stopping God from building up our lives of faith. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand these things that are freely given to us by God. So you can see the relationship there. I suppose my way my little brain works, but I was humming the tune Love and marriage go together like horse and carriage. And I thought, why am I singing that? But it's just the way God's saying, you know, because the way he talks to me is probably very different to you and to everybody else. And it was going, you're singing that. Why am I singing? Like, come on, God, why am I singing that song? And it was sort of, well, it's what it says, isn't it? That in the song that the author was saying, these things go together. It's accepted that, you know, it's sort of love and marriage, horse and carriage. And I'm going, so really, I should, when I talk about, when I pray, I should be talking to all three of you. And I think that might be a good idea, John. And, you know, again, it's sort of, let's listen. But I was actually interested because I've always been a bit, you know, this in Matthew 12, where we hear about speaking against the Holy Spirit. I think this is why we need to be careful how we speak of the Spirit of God, as Jesus reminds us in Matthew 12, because we're actually talking about God himself. If you diss me, you diss me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you say something about God, if you say something about Spirit, you're actually saying something bad about me. So be very, very careful. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. That is interesting, isn't it? Because we know that Jesus atoned and he's the propitiation, all those sorts of big words that we have. But basically, he was the advocate to bring us to the Father. And sometimes we speak words against Jesus a lot. But interestingly, if we start to come against the Spirit of God, we actually are coming against God himself. So we need to pray for those who don't understand the relevance of the Spirit, that pray that God will bless them in recognizing his place as a person in the Godhead. As we seek God in this place, then, here at Newfield, I wonder, will we recognize the holiness of the Spirit? He's part of the wholeness of God. Father, Son, Spirit. And I was thinking to myself, can I allow myself to draw close to him? And is the Spirit of God welcome here today, now? Can we honestly say that we want him to turn up? There's a great song that from Bethel, which I love. And it says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. So, we cause a problem. We need to understand that the Spirit of God is God himself. And that purpose is that through the Spirit of God, this is my third P, so we've got a problem, person, and God has purposed. Is that he's purposed the Spirit of God to reveal himself to us. God could reveal himself to us if he wanted to, but he chooses the Spirit of God to do that. That's his advocate. The Spirit of God will show us God's way. The Spirit of God, if we're listening, will show us the mission that God wants. He will show us the gifts that we want. Not that we want, but what God wants us to have. I'm not talking about gifts today at all, because I think that's something that we can get really hung up on. Because what I'm thinking about is we need to understand the person of the Spirit in relation to what God wants from us. Now, God has purposed us as Newfield Community Church to be his people here, right? We've gone through the Nehemiah teaching and we've gone through the stuff with Gideon. So there's an element to what we are is the basis of what God wants to move from. If God has purposed us as Newfield Community Church to be his people for a time as this, now is the time to pray in the Spirit to call on God for his power to be revealed. Now, I've been in some really dodgy meetings over my years where people have tried to bring it on and coerce and leading people up the wrong path. There is a danger that if we're not in tune with God, we will do things like that because we want that experience. But to call on God's power is a biblical thing to do. And are we going to call on God's power so that it's revealed to the 27 houses in Newfield Road and the 101 houses in Newfield Gardens? I think I got the maths wrong. Right. Because it's only the power of the Spirit of God hovering over those houses and the power of prayer that will bring change. Because that's what God wants from us. 1 Corinthians 2. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Let me read that again. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Do we believe this? Do we believe that God has purposed us for this time? And that these things that we were excited about when we heard that God was going to change, are these the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit, or is it just good intention? And when we move forward, are we just going to sit here as we were, or are we going to say, okay, God, you brought us to this place. Where are you taking us now? Give us the fruit of that vision. John 14, Jesus made it clear. If you love me, keep my commandments. We're happy with that. Are we happy with that? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. Jesus there is talking about the Spirit of God. And he says another advocate. So in fact, he's talking about himself in relation to God, who has given us the Spirit to move us on in him. Now, the world cannot accept him, we know that, and sometimes the church cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. Isn't that a sad indictment? That we can actually not recognize the Spirit of God moving. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then in verse 25, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So, there's endorsement. Jesus is endorsing the move of the Spirit in our lives and in what we do. I'm not frightened to use the word supernatural. Seems like in some churches we wipe out the supernatural bit because it's a bit messy and sometimes it can be sort of a bit unpredictable because of what it does to people. But we don't want to be like, let's build a booth here, but let's actually allow ourselves to be open. And are we ready to accept the supernatural purpose of the Holy Spirit to bring into fullness God's promise for this church? Are we ready to be open to God's power for the good of the lost, for the lonely, for the wounded, for the broken and the outcast? How many of us here have got a gift that falls into that category, but how many of you actually understand your birthright to be an encouragement to each one of us? It's not about just standing here. It's about the arm around the shoulder. It's about being on the street corner. It's about the power of God being seen in our lives. And as we know from Acts, that people are astounded by the early church. And that's why daily people were coming to God, because they saw the Spirit of God working in its fullness in the lives of those around. The last one, the last point really is for you to take on away as your homework. But we have looked at, and this is on your sheet, is that there's no reason for the Holy Spirit to be a problem in the church. And then second point on the sheet, it says we need to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is a person. And just mentioned about the fundamentals that the Spirit is a person and he is God, not a creation of God. I think that should be fundamental in our thinking. Because if we can grasp that, if the three guys were here together, if God was here and Jesus was here and the Spirit was here, we would see it, wouldn't we? Go, like, you know, if like, for instance, if Josh was here, my Josh was here and Charlotte was here, you'd see that we're related. Our human existence is based on seeing is believing. Do we believe that the Spirit of God is a person in his own right? Because then it makes things so much easier when we move off into the works of power. The power of the Holy Spirit and it is a huge, huge area. And it's impossible to give it justice in a few minutes. Alongside this, we need to accept the word supernatural. God is a supernatural God. He has a supernatural purpose for Newfield Church. And the Holy Spirit is a part of his supernatural purpose for us here. But the last point, as I was saying, is that I want you to take on home, is that we need to acknowledge that God wants to bless Newfield to live and work in the power of the Spirit. Now, if that's going to be hard or you can't accept that, then you need to ask God, am I supposed to be here? Because if we're ready and God kicks off with that, we've got to expect some amazing things. And sometimes it might think some crazy things, but we need to be praying into that. We need to be praying, your will be done. God has given us a fresh mandate. We've all chosen to believe the words about Gideon and Nehemiah. We've chosen our leadership. We want them to lead in the Spirit and truth. We want to see new life. And this can only happen supernaturally through the power of the Spirit. So really, your homework really is, are we really willing to receive the teaching? Are we to receive the power of God in this place? Have you that heavenly vision? And that's not being all ethereal and all that sort of thing, but is there something that is burning in you and irritating you about the kingdom of God, saying, why is this not happening? Why is this not happening? And as I said, will you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven? So really, I encourage you, coming back to Oswald Chambers, if we lose the heavenly vision God has given us, we alone are responsible, not God. We lose the vision because of our own lack of spiritual growth. We need to grow. We need to allow the Spirit of God to cultivate our understanding. So spend time listening to God this week. And what is he saying to you about his heavenly vision for Newfield Church, community church, sorry. And I've got some verses here for you to read. And from those, what is God sharing with you? We've got Acts 1:18, Ephesians 5:18, Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19-6:9, and Colossians 3:20. There's some really exciting verses in there. Come back next week with a sort of, what actually is God done? I want to leave you with Proverbs 3. Don't forget my teaching. Keep my commandments in your heart. They will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, your first fruits. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with the new wine. Father God, I just ask that you will stir up in us the truth of the Spirit of God, Lord, your wonderful power, Lord, the power that Jesus said it will help us to do things better than he did. And that's quite awesome in itself. Things that we would never imagine. Lord, help us to have a divine perspective on what we need here in this place. Father God, I just pray that our teaching will be filled with your Spirit. Father, I just ask that you will allow the works we do to be led by your Spirit. Father, we ask that as the leadership develops, Lord, that there will be a fifth elder, as it were, who is your Holy Spirit, who is sharing with them your thoughts, your ways, and your heart. But encourage us, Lord, to open the window, open the doors, and allow him to flow through us, to freshen, to breathe life. And Lord, we pray that your power here will be in the word of God that's taught, but also as we worship you in what we do.